Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. Paula Bova, news and notes on today's show, Monday edition, sports360az.com. We're back from the Pac-12 football media days. Had a good couple of days over in Los Angeles, over at the NFL Network. Talked to quite a few people. On the entertainment side, Eric and I had lunch with, or coffee rather, with one person in the entertainment industry about an NFL movie that's coming up. It's not by the NFL, but it's got the NFL scared to death. So we're going to talk about that a little bit on the show today. This is things you come across. And there's quite a bit going on the college football front now that Pac-12 Football Media Day is through. But it's all about the NFL today. And we'll start there, brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. I'll be heading over to Santan Ford after today's show. Go see General Manager Tim Hovick. It is time for me to get out of that Ford Fusion. Time for me to get into another vehicle from Santan Ford to drive. For me, it makes a lot of sense. The Fusion has been great. The hybrid edition, gotten terrific gas mileage. Wherever I go, people say that is a sweet-looking ride. You have to feel good about that when you valet park it. If you pull up to pick your son up from basketball or church or whatever it may be, as you're going around town. The Fusion. Think about that vehicle for you. Is it time to get out of that car that you're in, or maybe that truck you're in, and get into an F-150? You know, it's that time. Life moves fast. And Tim Hovick and company at Santan Ford, they'll do it right for you. I saw his big billboard out by University of Phoenix Stadium where he's all about you. Now the Cardinals training camp is here. Santan Ford, appreciate their support. So Cardinal camp is open. They're in pads today, this afternoon, actually. I'm going to head over there today to see a little bit of the Cardinals and what they're all about. As we've said on the show before, but not to belabor the point, it's all about Carson Palmer and if he can stand upright or not. The backups behind him, you have Drew Stanton. My understanding is Logan Thomas has not looked all that great so far. And if you're Bruce Arians and Logan Thomas doesn't look all that great, how long do you go before you say we've got to go a different direction? That's a draft pick from last year, somebody that brings an extra dimension. You know, there's new scoring rules this year where someone like Logan Thomas, who's real fleet of foot, you may want to consider having him on your roster. But if he's not getting the job done, well, there's some concern there. Carson Palmer showed his shoulder is better than it was a year ago. He rehabbed his shoulder. We talked all about his knee, but remember the shoulder from last year. So here is Carson Palmer on coming back to camp. He knows how to handle the injury.
My past experience coming back from this injury is going to help me a lot, and just knowing how to feel, how I might feel after, you know, a couple of days in a row, and you know the typical sorenesses that come along with the recovery from this surgery and all that. Having that history, I have a pretty good feeling about not worrying about it, not thinking about it, just going out there and practicing.
So that's with the knee and also the shoulder. The shoulder and the arm strength, how does it feel to Carson Palmer? The arm strength, this was over the weekend.
I think just more velocity. If you can throw it 50 yards and your arm gets stronger, maybe you throw it 53. If you can throw it 65, maybe you can throw it 68. I mean, that, at the end of the day, isn't a big difference. I think the velocity is what you try to get out of those exercises.
So I think, Eric, this is a pretty significant bit of news here, that if his arm strength is that much better than what we've seen out of Carson Palmer from last year, I got to believe John Brown's going to be even better. Was it Fabiano told us from a fantasy standpoint? He was thinking John Brown even overfits this year, so, and Michael Floyd.
That was the big buzz on Saturday on social media, was the zip and the velocity, like Carson said, on his throws with his new shoulder.
Yeah.
But
he's been working out on
yes.
it. He's
yes.
been getting after it a little bit. So if in fact, and here's the fun part about this for some of you, for guys like me, it's August 3rd. When it's September 13th and they're playing the New Orleans Saints, I'll feel a whole heck of a lot better. First of all, I'll feel better that he got through all of training camp without being injured. But I like hearing that his shoulder feels that much stronger. How could you not? I like the thought that there's maybe some throws this year that he could make that perhaps he couldn't have made last year. And he had a terrific season last year.
And I wonder how Arians and the staff are going to handle Palmer in the preseason, because he doesn't necessarily need the work, but there is the timing issue. He hasn't been on the field in a while. You don't want to play him too much because it's the preseason. These games mean nothing. And so many big time players get hurt in the preseason. Last year it was Darnell Dockett. So you just have to wonder what the balance is and how they're going to play that out over these four games this month.
Quick out, screen pass, turn around, hand the ball off, you're done.
Yeah.
Get the pads
out. Yep.
I mean, you really don't need to do much.
No five-step drop. You don't need to sit in the pocket for four seconds.
Why would you need to do that? I mean, I understand that you want to have everything in place, but the NFL is a year-round business now.
Yeah, show off your arm in practice. You don't need to let it fly in the preseason.
For those that are still in that this is my dad's NFL, it's not anymore. It's just not. What was it? Bruce Arians said it's Camp Cupcake. That's right on the mark. That is so true. It's great to talk about. Mike Iupati is here. He's going to be a big difference maker. And you have to get the offensive line together. And they have to work together for their timing. They've been doing this the entire offseason, right? So nothing's really going to change over the next month. It's not like Jared Veldier is not going to know what to do. Yeah, you need to run through reps. But Camp Cupcake is perfect for this. It's perfect. It's Bruce Arians' way of saying, we know that this is a joke, the way that it is structured nowadays. But we're not going to say that because we don't want to bite the hand that feeds us, which is the big bad NFL. And we also know that the players could use more work, but we've got them year-round, and they're not really doing much year-round anyway. So it's fun for you guys with cameras to shoot them doing nothing and say, here they are getting after it. And it's great for Carson Palmer to get up there and talk about nothing, really.
They don't have two-a-days anymore. They technically are on the field twice a day, but the morning session is a, quote, walkthrough, as they call it.
It's a walkthrough.
It's a walkthrough.
So like Dez Bryant yesterday getting into a fight with one of his teammates.
Unreal.
But, you know,
it's training camp stuff, though. It happens.
It's training. And it gives the fans something other than, wow, we went out to practice, and it's great to see the Big Red on the field. And it's great for the kids and all that stuff. We got some autographs. That's all well and good. But to get to September 13th and to already get this bit of news from Carson Palmer about his shoulder, you know, I'm pretty good about this. I still think James Betcher is the story of this training camp. It's a defensive coordinator. Here's a guy that has come here and is replacing Todd Bowles. And we're going to sit here all training camp long and say, boy, the defense looks really good. Yeah, it looks really good against football that's being played at near half speed in Camp Cupcake. And so we're not going to know. We're not going to know what James Betcher's going to do against Seattle with 3 minutes to go in the game. We're not going to know. We're not going to know until it's regular season football and Drew Brees comes out on the field and goes through his preparation and then starts to pick apart James Betcher's defense. Then we'll see if this has been a good move or not. But until then, the jury is completely and totally and 100% out. Michael Bidwell or Steve Keim or any of these guys can say, this is great. Oh, it's great. It's great. It's great. You don't know. Nobody knows. So, but it's great that camp is here and there's some things going on today. They're actually going to be in pads. And I wouldn't expect too much out of that. There's some news and notes around the NFL involving local players. So every day during camp, or as much as we see during camp, because it's really hard to just sit and talk about the same positions over and over and over. There are guys around the NFL that are from Arizona on the high school front or may have played here collegiately. And every day, I was talking to Eric about this, every day I want to show some of these guys and talk about how they're doing. So Brett Hundley is in Green Bay. Brett Hundley's in Green Bay right now. He comes in as a mid-round draft pick. He's behind Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is only 31 years of age. I don't know if Brett Hundley is going to even make the active roster on September 13th against the Bears. But there's Brett, and he's battling Scott Tolzien for the number two spot behind Aaron Rodgers. There's some conversation, again, that he may not even be on the active roster, but the former Chandler High star, there he is in Green Bay trying to get it done, formerly at UCLA. We go from there to the next picture, which is Kadeem Carey. Kadeem Carey, the former U of A running back, Kadeem Carey is off to a good start, we hear, with the Chicago Bears. Now, Kadeem Carey last year was not, Eric, if I remember right, Kadeem Carey did not get off to a great start last year with Chicago. And in training camp so far, he's been working on his pass blocking, and my understanding is he has been pretty good at it. I'd like to see Kadeem Carey do well. You know, the Bears need to have some sort of semblance of a running game this year. They have Matt Forte, but Kadeem Carey, somebody who's brought in for the future. From there, we have the bad story of the day, and that's Kyle Williams. So Kyle Williams is the former Sun Devil, former Chaparral High star. Kyle Williams had an Achilles injury in Denver, and he's done for the season. Very unfortunate. Suffered the injury in a special teams drill. We like Kyle Williams a great deal, but he's done. Some of the news and notes around the NFL. James Harden is in the news today a little bit. Some college football. We're going to bring back some of Matt Leinart talking about Mike Bercovici. The Diamondbacks, too. That's all coming up next. Paula Bovin in about 15 minutes as we continue on a busy Monday. We have plenty of content up on our website, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Count them, 32 days until Texas A&M against Arizona State. The college football season gets underway, actually less than that. 30 days for the U of A game? No. Can't be, is it? No, it's 32 for the ASU.
Football
game
starts a month from
Thursday.
Technically a month from
Thursday.
The 3rd. So today is August 3rd.
So
football,
30 days.
Yep, football
30
starts
days. That's Utah-Michigan that day.
And TCU Minnesota, which will be my priority that
TCU,
day.
You have to keep reminding me about TCU Minnesota.
It won't be the biggest game, but it will be the highest ranked team playing that night.
Have you seen the, by the way, sports360az.com. That is our website. You're watching us on sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Some of you watching us over there too. Paula Bovin in about 10 minutes, columnist for the Republic. All right. So have you seen the line on ASU and A&M yet?
Last time I saw it, it was A&M -3.
-3. And A&M is not ranked in the top 25.
I think that spread's about right. It's pretty much a coin flip game, and they're technically calling it a home game because Houston is only an hour from College Station. They'll be mostly A&M fans.
So. Yeah. But, you know, a three-point spread, A&M's not ranked, and ASU is ranked 15th. So they're right in the middle of the pack.
But those rankings are so, I mean, take a look at what the rankings are when they first come out, and then take a look at what they look like in January. They're always very different.
No. I understand that. But it does help, okay? I'm here in Arizona. I did not go to Arizona State, but I have to point this out. If they want to go to the national title game or be in the CFP, it's probably pretty good to start out at 15 rather than unranked. I mean, that's – and if you go there and you win that game, okay, now you're off and running. So Vegas got into the act on the college football scene over the weekend. And right now, 1 month before the start of the college football season, the Michigan Wolverines are the most popular bet to win the national championship at the Westgate Vegas Super Sportsbook. Only four teams have attracted more money than Jim Harbaugh's Wolverines in the national championship futures pool at the Super Bowl. They're 100-to-1 long shot.
That's it. That's a smart play. That's a very, very smart play. 100-to-1.
100-to-1 on the Wolverines.
Take your $10, throw it on Michigan.
We need to do a show up there, huh? You know, we've been talking about leaning on Vaquero to do something. Maybe with a number like that, it's worth our time to go up and just put a bunch of bobs down in the next few weeks, just for the heck of it.
Can we do that legally? I guess.
Sure, why not? Who's going to come after us? Michigan is also fifth in number of overall bets. So these crazy Michigan fans are coming out of the woodwork like, we are going to dominate this year because we're Michigan. And you could put 100-to-1 on Michigan. You do that because you're a bit of a gambling man. You've got the look on your face.
But they don't have a quarterback. And in college football, if you don't have a quarterback, you really...
But it's Jim Harbaugh. He can find a quarterback.
You really don't have a chance.
Consensus favorite Ohio State, 5-to-2, by far the most popular national title bet. Nearly four times more money has been put on the Buckeyes than any other team. How's that handle for you, Alabama? How's that work out for you, SEC? We're the big bad SEC. I don't know. Four times more money put on Ohio State than any of you. Followed after Alabama, which had the second most amount of money, Auburn, Notre Dame, and Michigan. Now, when it came to the National Championship Conference, Big Ten, far and away, followed by SEC, ACC, the Pac-12 was 4-to-1 odds. 4-to-1, Pac-12. Big 12 was +230. Nobody thinks the Big 12 is going to do jack. Sorry for your TCU Horned Frogs. It's the way it's going to go. The Wolverines, host the Buckeyes on November 28th. Ohio State is a 14-point favorite over Michigan in the Superbook today. Do you put bets down? Like, you've got TCU Baylor that you're going to the same day.
Yes.
Would you put money down? I wonder if this is... Hey, let me just read through this. TCU is a 14-point road favorite over Minnesota in the opener on September 3rd. Does it have TCU and Baylor already? Hang on.
I wouldn't bet that, by the way, because I don't bet on my school.
Baylor at TCU minus 5.
TCU is a 5-point favorite?
Yeah.
It's... Again,
money.
Get back to me in 10 weeks, and I'll have a little bit better idea.
Put the money down now. That's pretty good. That game's November 27th. The 28th is UCLA, USC, and Alabama at Auburn is also that weekend.
Decent weekend of games.
Yeah. So this is at the Golden Nugget. The Wynn Sportsbook will release their weekly lines next Sunday. And what was the other? There was one other story in here. Georgia, West Virginia. Now I'll get to that. They're limiting the bets at $1,000 right now, by the way. So if you really want to get in on top of this, the other college story that caught my eye from over the weekend was actually something that we did at a Pac-12 football media day with Matt Leinart. So Matt Leinart, of all the interviews we did over the weekend or last week, and we did Rich Rod, he was great. Todd Graham was great. There really wasn't an interview that I just sat across from somebody and said, man, this is just painful. Get out of here. Mark Helfrich was fine as always. But Matt Leinart really struck me on a number of levels, including his thoughts on Mike Bercovici as the quarterback for ASU for this coming season. Check this out.
I think he's the type of player. Last year's experience couldn't be more valuable to this year for his confidence and for the team's confidence in him. When you look at a Todd Graham football team, defensively, they're aggressive, they're fast, they're physical. They're going to kind of create havoc on an offense. That's just what he does. That's his style, and it's paid dividends for him. Offensively, they got a lot of guys back. They got an offensive line that's got experience. DJ Foster making a move, but he's still going to get a lot of touches in that offense. And you got a quarterback who last year, you know, some people think he should have stayed because he offers. We would open up that can of worms. Seems like you don't want to talk about that. But
it's fine.
Yeah, no, he just offers a different element. You know, he's not a guy that's going to run around and like Kelly was, but he's got a big arm. He can stretch the field, which you got to score points in this conference. To be honest with you, I think no disrespect to Kelly because I loved him because he was just a good football player. You know, he's tough. But it's almost an upgrade as far as, like, I think this guy is going to be special. And just talking to him, he's a good kid. And he works hard. He's a really good kid. He's humble. And I think he'll seize the opportunity.
I think this guy is going to be special. Now, I understand it's Matt Leinart, who most people here in Arizona just remember as a Cardinal. But you have to remember him for what he did at USC. And as the interview was unfolding, and the whole interview with Matt is up on the site, we were talking about how his career flamed out, and now he's turned the page. He's going to be the lead and in-studio analyst with Fox College Football this year, and I think he'll do fine there. I saw him over talking to Burko before he came to do the interview with me, and I'll tell you what, Matt worked at it this last week. And Lincoln Kennedy and Matt Leinart, those two guys, Eric, there are times where you and I sit across from analysts and we know a lot more than what they know. They're just mailing it in. Matt is not mailing it in.
No, neither of those guys.
Neither
because
those guys
got into
were.
Some like below the surface stuff when it comes to the Pac-12 that only they would know if they had been doing their homework, like you said, in the offseason, and those guys.
Well, and he said to me, it seems like you don't want to talk about this. No, I really do want to talk about this because I do think, you know, Lincoln Kennedy used the term upgrade, and he didn't mean that disparagingly towards Taylor Kelly, but how would you not take it any other way than that if you're Taylor Kelly? I don't think their quarterback situation is going to be that big of a concern as some are making it out to be. I could be dead flat wrong on that.
It shouldn't be. I mean, Burko got a lot of valuable experience, played in some big games last year.
But he, you know, he's got some kids behind him. Let's just say for argument's sake that he does stumble coming out of the gate, okay? You've got White, you've got Wilkins, you've got some players that are behind you. They're recruiting quarterbacks, and I'm not sitting here stirring this thing up. I'm just going with the obvious. If he doesn't do well, and you're Mike Norvell and you're Todd Graham, you have some kids that have waited and waited for their opportunity or have come in Brady White's come in with as high a marks as any quarterback to Arizona State. And Gerhardt's already moving over to safety. He's already playing in the secondary, so I'm not even including him in this conversation.
But knowing Todd Graham, Brad, you have to think he's going to stick with Burko. Because Burko stuck with him for so long. And look at what happened last year with Kelly.
But Todd stuck with Taylor.
And that's the thing.
The game at Oregon State, they should have pulled him.
And they should have, but they didn't. And you have quarterbacks. Yeah, of course, there's great talent. But no one behind Burko has ever taken a college snap. Brady White could be the next big thing, but he's a true freshman. Manny Wilkins was a redshirt.
Josh Rosen over at UCLA, though. You don't know. Jared Goff played and got his head kicked in up at Cal to start with. I mean, there comes a point, at some point this season, okay, we're going to sit here and have a conversation on a Monday about, wow, Burko really did do well, and what if they would have put him in last year? Or, no, he's fine, he's okay. Do you have to start preparing for the next step if he's just okay?
Depends on where you are in the standings. Are you going to be playing for a Pac-12 South title, or are you going to be 5-4 going into the back half of the season and it's time, let's just get these kids some reps?
Sure. No, if you come into the Oregon game, by example, it's towards the end of the season, it's a Thursday night, it's national television. If your program has not performed well this year, is it your way of saying to the future recruits, hey, look, we had to turn the page. You can come here. We're giving them the experience and all that. I feel bad for Berkovici in this sense. There's going to be people that will put him under the microscope, given the history of Brady White and what he did in high school. They're going to bypass Manny Wilkins. A lot of fans have already done that. And they're not going to give him much of a rope. If he goes down to Texas A&M and turns the ball over more than a few times, it's not going to be pretty initially, which is unfair to the kid. That's why I was saying during the Duke, leading up to the Duke bowl game, play him. Just give him the whole bunch of reps. But Matt Leinart made some good points. Lincoln Kennedy made some very good points. And I think, who was it? Charles Davis a few weeks ago went over the edge and fell on the sword for Burko too. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of analysts that are pointing that direction. Paula Bovin is next. News and notes. AZ Central Sports columnist, my friend. She was in Chicago with Jerry Colangelo for a big piece she's working on this coming weekend. We'll talk to her about that. Things going on around the Valley sports scene too. That's next. And then in about 15 minutes, we've got the James Harden shoe story. How many millions of dollars is Adidas offering James Harden? We'll talk about that in about 15 minutes.
For in-depth, unique coverage from the high schools to the pros, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ. Giving you the inside slant on the weekend's biggest stories, it's time for News and Notes with AZ Central sports columnist Paula Bovin. Here again, Brad Sesmat.
Paula Bovin joins us on the road. News and Notes, AZ Central sports columnist, my friend. And, of course, we're involved with AZ Central Sports in a partnership. You are watching the stream there as well as sports360az.com. Paula joins us today. She's wrapping up a vacation that was a working vacation for part of it in Chicago. More on that in a minute. She is in Seattle. So Seattle, the Seahawks are going to win the Super Bowl for the next 10 years, right? That's what's going on up there. That's the vibe.
No, it's really been kind of interesting. Obviously, it's Seahawks, everything up here. But there's concern, now that they signed Russell Wilson to that big contract, I think yesterday they cut a defensive end, Tony McDaniel, who had pretty much started most of the games the last 2 years. So now they have to save some salary space. And that's stuff they didn't have to do before because Russell was, paid so low. They got one of their top safeties, Cam Chancellor, holding out. So while there's enthusiasm and excitement, Brad, it's a little bit different this year now that Russell has that big contract.
Yeah, they signed Bobby Wagner over the weekend, and I think I read Peter King had it today. I think that there's 10 players that are signed to big double-digit contracts, and they have like $50 million left to get 40 players done. So it means that you've got to let some players leave, which happens from time to time. I think the Cardinals went through that after the Super Bowl with Anquan for other reasons, but you're going to lose some. Antonio Smith was another one that left the Super Bowl team. You're going to go through that, so I get it. But really, concern in Seattle, I'm not buying that. I think that's just nothing more than it's August 3rd, and what else are we going to talk about?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, the bottom line is they still have Russell Wilson, and he does not strike me at all as a guy who will be changed by money. You know, I think he'll still be the same player with the same commitment. But he, I mean, at the very least, it makes the NFC West even more interesting, with maybe even some questions up here, even if they aren't big. What's happened with San Francisco, losing players, losing coaches? That seems to be in disarray. And, you know, the Cardinals and their hunger with Carson Palmer. I just think this is going to be a great division this year.
Well, I don't know if you saw it, Paula, but Carson on Saturday talked about how his shoulder is much stronger and he's throwing much better than he did a year ago. Now, to me, that's a significant storyline. Not the knee, but the shoulder. If he's able to make some throws this year that he couldn't make last year, I think that's a big upgrade for them at quarterback.
No question. And it's so funny because I'm sure a lot of people, we almost forgot about the shoulder because of the knee. You know, the knee followed. That was the one that required surgery, and it kind of forgot about the shoulder. And then I remember I looked back at some stories from last year, and Arians was talking about how he had lost some zip after that shoulder injury and things like that. And to hear now that he's overthrowing guys like John Brown and, you know, a lot of their speedsters, that kind of says a lot. And I think that bodes obviously very well for the Cardinals.
Yeah. I am hearing that Logan Thomas is struggling, though, and that the accuracy has been a problem already here in camp. And I just have to wonder, how long does Bruce Arians go with that situation? But you also have to look at the rule changes this year, where if you need somebody that can actually move with their feet better than Stanton and better than Carson, Logan may be your best option. But if he's not throwing the ball well, how long do you go with him as a third stringer? So I think there's some uncertainty at quarterback down here.
Yeah, I think that's one of the sort of intriguing secondary questions, because, you know, that was Arians' guy. I mean, they took a chance on him, I think, and there are a lot of people who question their decision-making on Thomas because of Logan's sort of inaccuracy. But the potential that he always has had and that strong arm, and, you know, coaches, for good reasons, think they can mold guys and fix their problems and everything else, and this staff has done that very well for a lot of guys they brought in. But he's the one where doesn't seem like there's been a ton of improvement. And will this organization be willing to let him go and go with, you know, someone else on that of those quarterbacks that maybe Sims or somebody who's doing better things? I haven't been paying enough attention the last few days to see how that whole thing is going. But you wonder if they're going to end up going a different direction.
No, you're at the fish market. It's fine. You're in Seattle. You work hard. Right. Paula Belvin joining us, News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist. Speaking of your work, so you went to Chicago and hung out in Jerry Colangelo's old neighborhood, huh?
I did. It was probably more fun than I've had a while doing a story. And part of it is I grew up about 3 miles from where Jerry grew up. So I know Jerry Colangelo's neighborhood well, but the photographer and I met him at the airport in Chicago, and then just drove down with him. And for 2 days, basically, went to his old neighborhood, visited his old house, hung out with his boyhood friends, which are just, you know, 13, 70-plus-year-old Italian men drinking grappa and having the time of their lives, you know. So it was really fun to sort of see that. And I went kind of trying to figure out how a guy who grew up in this area I grew up, which is very blue-collar, working class, got to be who he was, you know, and it was a sort of search for answers there. So it was fun.
And this will
and that
run
comes
on,
out Sunday.
This will run on Sunday, yeah. Is it, did you already write it? Are you still working on it on vacation?
Yeah, I just finished it.
Yeah. What is it, 20,000 words?
It's a lot of words.
10 pictures,
I'm
5 pages.
My boss to call.
Yeah.
We've got videos, but it should be. I'm hoping it'll keep people's attention.
Yeah, yeah. Is there anything you learned about him you didn't know going into this story?
You know, I had a sense of how much he was still connected to the neighborhood and gave back, but the stories I kept running into when I was there, you know, people he would just kind of knew or would come across. Mm-hmm. How he remembered them, how he flies them out to games, how they were there at his side when this or that happened. I mean, when the first game of the Diamondbacks, when the franchise started, how many of his people from his hometown he flew out there. And so his roots really run deep, and you wonder sometimes if the stories you hear are true, but they absolutely were.
That's good.
And
that's
I didn't realize what a great baseball. I knew he played baseball, but you know, he's better than Jim Bouton, who was on his team at that point,
wow,
his high school team. I mean, he was He was a big deal pitcher too. So.
Oh, neat. Okay, that's on Sunday in the Republic. That's cool. Mm-hmm. All right, so Eric and I went to Pac-12 Football Media Days for a couple of days, mm-hmm. and the level of respect towards ASU, and I get it. These coaches are never going to say anything bad about one another. They're never going to snarl. They're all going to look like they're getting along great. I have to tell you, though, U of A on the other side of the street, Rich Rod had, I wouldn't say a chip, but there's something about, hey, by the way, we won the regular season last year. We went to the Pac-12 title game. We went to the Fiesta Bowl and were picked fourth in our own division.
Yeah.
There was a little something from him about that. I don't know if you've talked with him or if you've seen it from afar, but what do you make out of U of A coming into this year?
You know, it's funny, and I watched a lot of the stuff you guys, some of the stories you posted and things like that, and it was interesting, and I picked up some of that, and, you know, I kind of get why he feels that way. They did accomplish a lot last year. They have a really good quarterback coming back, and, you know, I think it's tougher. They're one in a smaller media market. I think ASU generates more attention. I think that's part of it. I think Graham, just by his nature, sort of lures cameras and stories and, you know, things like that. But I could see where the point Rodriguez has. They've got a lot of good players coming back and a lot of things happening. So I think it's going to be fun for fans this year because I think we're going to have two really good college football teams in the state.
I sat down with Leinart because he's now at the Pac-12 Network along with
Fox. I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. So Matt came over and we did about 15 minutes on Friday, and it was very reflective on what happened with the Cardinals and just how he fell out of love with football, for lack of a better way to put it. But he gushed, and so did Lincoln Kennedy, who's now part of the Pac-12 Network. And Lincoln, you know, he's here in town. Those
sure.
two both gushed over Berkovici, like,
wow.
like in a way that I hadn't really thought of. And I think Berko's in a really tough spot. From this standpoint, if he doesn't play well in 32 days from now against Texas A&M, there's going to be those that are going to point to Brady White and Manny Wilkins, and more towards White, because I'm already starting to get some of that. And I don't know how much of a chance he's going to be given by the fans here because of all the buildup around Brady White. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. I think, well, I mean, I just think there's still this great love affair with Berkovici in this community. I don't think they'll jump ship after one game just because of the kind of person he is and it's projected. But yeah, I mean, you know, the great thing about ASU is they've raised the bar of expectations, and that's good. But the tough thing for them is people have short fuses now because they expect greatness. So you're right. I will see some of that. There's a couple things that stand out to me about the whole Burko thing. I think, you know, his experience last season in big games and for the most part how he responded, I don't think we're going to see any big flops or concerns or problems or anything like that. But I did think, I think it was in Doug Howler's story the other day of sort of Rick Neuheisel raising some questions about, you know, let's not forget some of the offensive line issues and sacks given up by ASU this past, you know, years, and now they don't have a quarterback who's probably quite as fleet-footed as Taylor Kelly, and they're losing some guys on the offensive line. Is that going to be an issue? I don't know. The one thing I'll respond to that is these offensive minds, and they're, you know, obviously you have this coveted offensive coordinator. They seem to do a good job of adjusting to the quarterback they have. I mean, Taylor Kelly was a great quarterback, but I think they also made him look even that much better because of the offense they designed. So, you know, I think they can do the same with Berkovici, but I think it is something to watch. I think it's a fair question.
All right, so you're in Seattle for a few more days, and then you're coming back recharged, ready to get after it. Is that the deal?
Exactly. I'm so excited. Mm. Football's here.
Yeah, yeah. Anything you're working on this week, or are you just, you know, hanging out in the fish market and all that?
No, I just had, like I said, I just wrapped up the Colangelo piece, and now I'm just kind of, I was just reading a bunch of football stories this morning, trying to get myself figure out what's going on with the Cardinals and ASU and the Wildcats. So that'll be my focus here the next few weeks.
Talk to you next week. Thanks.
All right, Brad.
There's Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central sports columnist for a couple of minutes. And again, Sunday, a big piece on Jerry Colangelo. James Harden has been approached by a shoe company that is offering him not just $100 million to wear their shoes, but more than $200 million. I will tell you the company and the exact figure and length of this contract and all of that on the other side. And also, John Stewart's in his last week. I got some thoughts on that, too. I'm Brad Sussmat. couple other things on my mind today. The Diamondbacks falling apart over the weekend in Houston to the point where it sounded like Chip Hale getting a little short-fused. There were no trades that they made on Friday when we last spoke to you. And they end up losing 2 of 3 to the Astros. The Astros are really good. And the Diamondbacks are in Washington today for a series with the Nationals. That's one. Two is James Harden. So James Harden, big game James Harden. When we last saw James Harden at Arizona State, just being that kid in shorts and a T-shirt, who would have ever thought that James Harden would be offered a 13-year, $200 million contract by Adidas to leave for Nike? $200 million. Please wear our shoes. We'll pay you $200 million. A spokesperson for Adidas said, quote, "We're a brand of creators, and he truly embodies what that means and his approach to the game, his look, his style on and off the court. He's coming off a historic season where he won the scoring title and was voted MVP by his peers. His connection with fans is unparalleled and unprecedented, and he can take the game."
And ASU is loving it because ASU just went to the triple stripe.
Sure they did.
Said goodbye to the swoosh. Hey, I don't know if you heard, but they revealed their quote-unquote new uniforms last week, which are really very, very similar last year's uniforms.
But let me go back on this Harden thing. So this is Adidas that put out this press release, okay? Understand this. Adidas put this out this morning. We're a brand of creators. He's coming off a historic season where he won the scoring title. He finished second in scoring behind Steph Curry.
Ah, details.
I mean, come on! Somebody who's writing this and going to blow up how great James Harden is, at least get your details right.
They didn't spell his last name H-A-R-D-I-N.
D-I-N, yeah.
Good.
Because we've seen that.
It happens, but on something like this, you may want to quadruple check those facts.
Can I see James Harden selling shoes to kids? No question. There's a kid on my son's club team. So my 10-year-old, he broke his wrist. So this summer, he hasn't played a game. But he goes to the games. He wears his uniform. I tell him, you've got to be part of the team. Come heck or high water. He goes to practices and all that stuff. It's fine. We're at a game like 3 weeks ago, and there's a very talented point guard on this team. He's going to be a terrific little athlete. Right now, he's 10. I'm not going to blow him up too much. But you can just see where some of these kids are going to end up. The kid was wearing a mouthpiece at a game about 3 weeks ago, and he was Steph Curry times 100. Every time he dribbled down the court, the mouthpiece came popping out. Every time he drove to the hole, the mouthpiece was being wiggled and wobbled. When he went to the free throw line, he would play with the mouthpiece. He wouldn't take it out. He just sat there and did Steph Curry over and over and over. It's kind of like when Craig Counsell was with the Diamondbacks, and you'd go to your kid's Little League game, and you'd see them hold their bat way up high. You know, kids like to emulate the guys. I get that. James Harden, are we going to see kids starting to grow beards? I don't know. They got to have razor deals first. They got to be able to grow facial hair to start with, right? But beyond that, James Harden does run in some interesting circles. Wasn't it he linked to a Kardashian a few weeks back? Didn't we see that story?
That's correct. Khloe Kardashian.
Yeah. Come on.
Who is now pregnant. She's not quite sure who the father is, but
big
she
game
is
James.
Pregnant. Maybe.
I don't know.
The tabloids told me over the weekend.
Tabloids told
that
you.
That she also slept with her ex.
Well, you're saying
Lamar.
Slept with. You're assuming that she slept with James under those conditions.
That's correct. If
we
you would just let me finish the story.
They may have held hands.
I'm on the tabloid report, okay?
All right.
Here's the deal. Khloe Kardashian has been wanting to get pregnant her entire life.
Right.
She's pregnant.
Yeah.
She doesn't know who the dad is. It
perfect.
Could be one of two NBA players. Well, I don't think Lamar Odom is active anymore, but...
Lamar active in the Odom? Bedroom or active
well,
in the...
Clearly, he's active
he
in the bedroom.
He could be active in the bedroom.
Lamar
see, when
Odom?
You say he's not active, be careful what you, you
or
know,
James
talk
Harden.
About. Yeah.
Because James Harden and Khloe were getting cuddly in Vegas a couple weeks
that
ago.
That doesn't mean that anything happened. You're jumping to conclusions that because they got cuddly, they ended up being cuddly on the floor.
NBA athlete.
Doesn't happen.
Mega star in her own
right. I watch ballers every week. It
Las
doesn't happen.
Vegas.
Doesn't happen.
It happens. And it happened.
So, you know, for him to sell $200 million worth of shoes, that is a global signing. That's the thing that I'm looking at. And again, I go back to when he was here at ASU. I would have never imagined him blowing up in that way. I mean, you could tell he was going to be a very talented player. But MVP of the league, it's real easy now for anybody associated with ASU to say, of course we knew. Oh, we could see it all coming. No, you couldn't. It seems like he's kept his circle pretty tame until here just recently. But look, if you're going to score a $200 million contract, maybe it is the association with the Kardashians that brings you another $50 million. Seriously, you can bring Caitlyn Jenner into the conversation then. I mean, there's all sorts of avenues that could be opened up and gear that you could sell when that's involved.
$200 million for shoes. $200.
Hey.
Well, I guess it's the brand. It's not just the
Well,
shoe,
it's the brand. It's the – they have Damian Lillard and they have Derrick Rose on their roster of guards. So do guards sell more shoes? Think of it from this perspective. If your kid – like – my son is going to be bigger than me. He's going to be 6'9", 6'10". He's already got people that want him to play on club teams that are older than he is. And I think that's nuts, okay? But he's a big man. Does he look at the games and watch the NBA and say, I want to be like him? I don't think bigs look at bigs. But guards, that's another story. Guards do sell because they have the ball in their hands the most. I don't know if it's because they have the cockiness.
Well, they're flat and they're just flashier. I mean, for the most part, with the exception of Blake Griffin. But I mean, most bigs don't play like guards.
But it's a good point you bring up because it's like cornerbacks and wide receivers. Do they sell more shoes than offensive linemen do? Sure, they do. When's the last time you saw an offensive lineman push any sort of shoes? Never. Running backs. There's not many running backs that have a shelf life, so they're not going to put money into them. $200 million, though, that's just a number that I could never imagine for him. And then John Stewart. This is more of a cultural thing. So I've watched the John Stewart show through the years. I think he's very, very good. I think he's very, very entertaining. He's also had a 16-year run. Anytime you have a 16-year run in television or media of any sort, it's a great run. His final show is this Thursday. I know many of you guys have more interest than just the sports side of things. So Louis C.K., Dennis Leary, and Amy Schumer are going to be on his final show for Jon Stewart on The Daily Show on Thursday. I will be watching this, and I'm sure many of you will as well. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. There's plenty of content up on our website right now that you can check out, sports360AZ.com. That is the place where we put our content day in and day out. High school, college, pro, college, high school. Doesn't really matter. We're into the art of storytelling and really good content. I'm not chasing a click. Chasing click, I'm just going to throw an NFL story up there every second of every minute of every hour of every day. A little bit more depth than that. We can reach a little higher, actually a lot higher. You can check out our content there. And we partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports.